Good evening, Lehigh Valley, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse this evening. I'm Sally Hanlon, your host for tonight's program, and I'm really excited to share with you my guest and what he's doing here in the Lehigh Valley. Actually, he's coming back to the Lehigh Valley. But before we go on to the show a little bit, I want to give you some background about Moravian College, because if you haven't guessed it or you haven't read the PR, our guest this evening is Dr. Brian Grigsby. He is the president of Moravian College, and he's been with us on campus this time since July, but he is actually coming back because he was an undergraduate at Moravian College. I did some history, as always, listeners, and I want to just share with you a little bit about Moravian College, and then I'll introduce you to Dr. Grigsby. I didn't realize this. Did you know that Moravian College is the sixth oldest college in the United States? And so I went back to look and see what the other five were. Harvard, in 1636, it was called New College. William and Mary, Yale, Princeton, University of Pennsylvania, and Moravian. Those are the first six colleges in the United States, or at that time, the new territory. And Moravian was founded in 1742 as the Bethlehem Female Seminary. It was actually founded in Germantown as the first school for young women in the new states. And it was, and you guys from Bethlehem know this name, Benigna Countess von Zinzendorf. She was the daughter of Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, and she was the one who created this school. So there's a lot of connections, and it's really great that it's not in Germantown anymore, that it's here with us in Bethlehem. There were actually two schools that became a part of Moravian College. The one was the Moravian College and Theological Seminary in 1807, which was the men's college, and of course the women's college. And the two of these merged in 1954. They combined to form a single coeducational modern institution called Moravian College. At that point, the two campuses, the North Campus, which was the location of the men's college, and the South Campus, which was the location of the women's college, came together. And that distance between the two, if you've heard it around town and didn't know, is called the Moravian Mile. It's about 0.8 tenths of a mile. And I guess, I don't know if the first-year students still have to do that on purpose, but it's part of their, I think, initiation. So with that background, Dr. Grigsby, welcome to WDIY.
Thank you for having me here. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, and you have such a busy schedule right now that I'm just really thrilled that we could grab you. And I learned just recently, as you sat down, that you were also in radio yourself.
I did have a radio show when I was working for Centenary College some years ago.
Okay. Did you have a regular program?
Every 2 weeks, I had an hour-long program to talk about what was going on in higher education and what was going on in at the college.
Wow. So yeah. you're an old hand at this. So I should maybe be sitting on the other side of the table from you.
I don't think so. I had to be led. So I'm planning to be led again.
That's great. Well, as I mentioned in the brief intro, you went to undergraduate school here at Moravian College. And I'd like to just sort of go back a little bit. What attracted you then? And this was back in the 80s?
Yeah, 1986.
86. Okay. So what attracted you to Moravian then?
Well, it was to play soccer.
Okay.
I was being recruited as the Division I level, and John Makovic came to my high school in Monroe, New York, and he said, well, you could go Division I, and you may play maybe your senior year if you stay healthy, or you could come to Moravian and you could start. And so that was attractive to me, and I came to Moravian instead of going there, and the rest is history, as they would say.
Okay, did you play all 4 years then?
No, I didn't. I got hurt in my sophomore year and came back in my junior year and started again and got re-injured and then decided that it was better to focus on my mind than my body.
Okay, well, we're glad that you did, because we got you back as the president, as the 16th president now of Moravian College. Did you plan when you were an undergrad? Did you see your path leading this way to become a college president?
No, I didn't. My mentor here, Dr. Bob Burkaw, who is still living in the area, he says I said that I was said that I was going to come back and run this place someday. It is kind of cocky enough to come out of my mouth, but I don't remember actually saying it. I really went to kind of give back for what Dr. Bacaw had given me, which was kind of transforming my life. And I wanted to be a college faculty member. And so I decided to go on for my PhD. I was brought into the president's office at Centenary College my third year as a faculty member there, and asked by the new president if I wanted to go into administration. I decided that I would go into administration. I gave the typical faculty answer: I'll do that for 3 years and I'll go back to the faculty. So that's 15 years later now.
Oh my goodness!
Okay. So I enjoy administration a lot. And once I had started in administration and moved up to the provost rank, I started thinking that it would be nice to be the president, and where else would be a better place to be the president of than your alma mater?
Well, that's terrific. That's a great story, and I don't know that many people can say that, as far as going to an undergraduate school and then coming back as its president 15, 20 years later.
There are a few of us out there that have done that. I'm the second alum who has been a president. Halpert, who the hub is named after,
okay, yes,
was the first alum.
Okay, I didn't realize that. Great. Well, now that you've moved from the ranks of provost and you've stepped up to the level of college president, you're responsible for everything. Mm-hmm. And Moravian College has the two components, which is, at least from the outside, so correct me if I'm wrong, you've got the theological seminary, which seems to be a separate entity, and then you've got the main college and all the courses and some graduate courses that happen at the college. Is that correct?
There's actually three entities. There's the seminary, there's the undergraduate college, and then there's the graduate school, which is the Comenius Center.
Okay, so that's a lot of things to get your arms around.
Yes,
faculty, staff, students, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I imagine the first 4 months or so have been a little whirlwind, even though you know the campus, just sort of getting acclimated with what it is today.
Sure. There's new buildings up. There's more faculty than when I was there. There's more programs. Things have moved on since I was there.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yes,
that's how
very
we got
good.
You back. Well, listeners, let me share with you some of the statistics about Moravian College. And please, Dr. Grigsby, correct me if I'm wrong. The total undergraduate enrollment's about almost 1,600, about 40% being male and 60% female. Most of the students, almost 75%, live in college-owned or operated housing, and 26% of students live off-campus. It's considered to be, when you read about it, a suburban campus, even though it's in the city of Bethlehem. I guess city of Bethlehem isn't like New York, huh?
No, it's not. It's a difficult classification, but these are federal classifications.
Okay, I was wondering where they picked that up. The campus really covers 80 acres. I didn't realize that and there's four campuses from what I researched.
Correct.
North, South, Priscilla Payne Hurd, that's the South Campus, Steelfield Campus, and then the St. Luke's Campus.
Correct. Well, St. Luke's Campus is our nursing program.
Okay. And that's basically a graduate program?
No, undergraduate nursing and graduate.
Okay.
Undergraduate and graduate nursing.
Okay, is that actually on the St. Luke's Hospital?
The parts premises? Of the class time and clinicals are on the St. Luke's side, and then the rest of the time the students are in the undergraduate curriculum
right.
side.
Okay, so there's those four campuses, that you've got facilities, and you've got maintenance, and you've got the students, and you've got the classes, and the buildings. And
18th century buildings.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, they look very pretty, but I'm sure.
They didn't have much insulation back then.
Oh, yeah, their clothes a little differently than we do today. When I was talking with Lafayette, Dr. Byerly last month, she had mentioned the student-faculty ratio being one of the sort of primary gauges. And I look at yours of 12 students to every one faculty. That's a pretty good ratio.
That's very low. That's what we're here for. A transformative private education has to have low student-to-faculty ratios. The faculty member has to know the student. I knew my first teaching job was actually at the University of Connecticut. And I walked into my upper division Shakespeare class, and there were 400 students. Mm-hmm. And I had never seen, I went to Moravian. We sit in little friendship circles of 10 students. I didn't even know what to do. I had never seen a lecture done, nor had one done that I had done. So it was quickly realized that wasn't the educational track I wanted to be in. I wanted to be in one where I would know the students' names, where I would know that what they do and what their interests are. And that's really how you can transform students' lives.
Yeah, and I think there's also an opportunity for them to get, well, this is probably part of the transformation, but when you get to know the professors very closely and you can help them with some of their projects and research,
correct,
it really advances you tremendously as a young adult.
Yeah, one of the statistics that Moravian has is that it's had 11 Fulbright scholars in the last 14 years. That's undergraduate. Our students getting a Fulbright. Many colleges would be happy with one.
Right.
We've had 11 in the last 14 years.
Okay, so help educate me. Is Fulbright in various topical areas, or
Fulbright is to study abroad on a topic, and so our students have won 11 Fulbrights, which is working closely with a faculty member to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's incredible. So okay, so you look back now, from now back to July, is there anything that you've found to be more interesting than you had initially anticipated as far as managing this business called Moravian College? Is there anything that sort of you didn't anticipate? Maybe it's a nice aha as far as what's been going on?
Well, the greatest aha or what has made me the happiest is things really aren't that different. The students are still the same that have always been there. I think the students are attracted to the tradition that is Moravian, the older buildings that are there. They are mature, articulate. They're able to look you in the eye. They're wonderful young people. And the faculty are still as committed as ever to helping them get the skills they need for the careers and the lives that they're going to lead. So we haven't lost any of our values. We haven't lost any of our abilities as educators and as a community. So that was the greatest aha.
Well, I guess that would be tremendous, because it's been, let's see, if you went to 86, you graduated in 90. So,
correct.
You know, that's 20 years.
Yeah, 23 years.
Yeah, that's incredible. Now, I noticed as I was doing my research that there are a number of majors that I was not aware of that Moravian College has, and hopefully I have them all, but if I don't, you have business, management, marketing, and related support services, social services, health professions and related programs, psychology, and biological and biomedical. I'm assuming all those are the undergraduate majors.
They're all undergraduate majors. Those are primarily in the schools that they're in. Obviously, we have English and history. I mean, it's too numerous to mention biology and chemistry and all those kind of programs. Our biology, we're just renovating the Hall of Science right now, the Collier Hall of Science, and putting a super lab in there for our students. And it has a GIS lab and all sorts of new programs can be developed off of those.
Terrific. So when I'm refer to Moravian Seminary, that's more like the graduate level, correct?
Correct. That's creating ministers and counselors.
Okay, so even counselors go through that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, one track that we have is a master's degree in counseling, and they can go through that and become a counselor through that program.
Okay, and then some of the other graduate, I did pull up, there was a press release on your website that said that you have an accelerated program for nursing or in nursing for college graduate students.
Correct. So this is like a second career program. So if, let's say, you had an English degree from another college, you could join our program and you want to become a nurse. We have courses in the sciences that you would need to take to do the required courses before you enter, and then you just do the nursing program and you leave with a BSN, Bachelor of Science in Nursing, and you're able to enter the nursing field.
So you would be receiving credit for some of those other courses that you might have taken at the other for your degree, and you don't have to worry about repeating them just because they weren't done at Moravian.
Correct.
Which is what I've heard has happened at a number of places.
No, we would accept the only ones that you would have, say you only took biology, but you need anatomy and physiology and you need chemistry, say. You'd have to take those to get the prerequisites in the sciences that you need to enter the nursing.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Because, you know, nursing is one of those fields that was up and then down. And then, you know, there's still a constant need for that. And nursing has changed so much over the years as far as what a nurse is responsible to do.
They're responsible for so much more. That's why a liberal arts college like Moravian having a nursing program is so important, because we provide all those critical thinking skills, those leadership and teamwork skills, the quantitative and qualitative analysis skills, so that the nursing graduates are highly qualified to enter their field. That's one of the things that makes our program stand out, is because we're training leaders, and that's what nurses are becoming. I think they've always been leaders in the nursing field, but now they're being asked to step up and do so much more under healthcare reform, and that this whole program... Right now, as we see the baby boomer generation retire, is so critical, because we have many people who are out of work but have college degrees, mm-hmm. and they can fill a void in the nursing field. And this makes it very convenient for them to do it. Within 18 months, they can be in the program.
Okay.
Or through the program.
Through the program. So 18 months would probably be the outset. Could somebody get through quicker based on what their undergraduate was in or the courses that they had leading up
to
that?
No, 18 months is if they have all the prerequisites, they can do it in 18 months.
Okay, that's still pretty good. Wow. Man, it's amazing what's happening at the colleges around the Lehigh Valley, and I'm so thrilled that you're here with us. We're going to go into a little bit more about Moravian College, but just a few more statistics for you before we take a quick break. Moravian is on a semester-based academic calendar, which means they've got two semesters a year, correct?
Correct.
It's part of NCAA 3. Athletic conference, and that was the soccer conference that you participated in, right, Brian?
Right, Division III. Those are where the students are athletes. They're doing it simply because they love to do it. There are no scholarships for being an athlete in Division III.
Okay, that's when I went to school. There were no for women. There were no scholarships at that point. And at this point, we're going to take just a short break, and we'll be back. So, listeners, stay tuned. This is Sally Hanley, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
This is Robert Siegel of All Things Considered. More news, less on-air fundraising is the goal at WDIY. Please make your contribution today and help WDIY make its goal and keep the pledge drive short. Help pay for the news and keep on-air fundraising interruptions to a minimum. Visit WDIY.org and give as generously as you can. Thanks.
WDIY is pleased to partner with the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, presenting Opening Revelry, Saturday, October 12th at 8 p.m. and Sunday, October 13th at 3 p.m. Pittsburgh native Attawagan Pratt joins the Allentown Symphony Orchestra for its opening season for a performance of Grieg's Piano Concerto, Lieberman's Revelry, and Sibelius' Symphony No. 2. For information, millersymphonyhall.org.
WDIY is proud to partner with Allentown Public Theater in presenting Poe, A Madman Knows Nothing, beginning Friday, October 11th through October 20th at the Ice House in Bethlehem. In this one-man show, Joshua Neth channels Edgar Allan Poe and dramatizes The Telltale Heart, The Raven, and other favorites, plus a few surprises. For tickets and information, allentownpublictheater.com.
Welcome back, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY. And with me this evening, I'm pleased to have Dr. Brian Grigsby with me, who's the 16th president now of Moravian College. And we're just starting to get into a little bit about the college, its background, and now we're going to talk a little bit more about what brought him to Moravian and some things about his vision as to where he sees Moravian going, as well as secondary education as well. But before we get into that, he just shared with me that when you become president, you get what as a gift?
Well, no, I got a Greyhound. We're the Greyhounds. Moravian College mascot is a Greyhound. So I got a rescue Greyhound from a racetrack. The students named him Mo. For Moravian.
Okay.
And recently we had homecoming, and one of the trustees was celebrating her class from 1968, and one of the alums came up and said, well, I've met the dog twice, but I still have yet to meet the president. And the trustee said, well, who was the dog attached to? And she said, that couldn't have been the president. That was probably the dog's handler.
So that's another one of the roles you
have. Yes, I'm a dog's handler. I was also one day under the Monocacy Bridge or in Monocacy Park. Someone introduced me and said that introduced the dog first, saying this is the mascot of Moravian College, and this person's the caretaker of Moravian College. I didn't correct them because I think that's kind of appropriate. As the president, you should be the caretaker of the college.
Well, and that's where the buck stops.
Yes. So.
Guess you could.
Exactly.
That's great. Well, I think it's wonderful that you keep a dog in your office and you have a rescue. I did some rescue work with Greyhounds myself. They're wonderful dogs.
He's a wonderful dog. I've never owned a Greyhound before, but I think I'm taken on Greyhounds now.
Yeah. You just have to make sure you have them leashed most of the time or good skedaddle. So we talked initially about that when you were provost, you decided that you liked to move up and get into more of the administration, and that led you to a path as president. Did it just happen that Moravian happened to have an opening at the time you were ready? Had you been searching for at that point? Or?
Well, I applied. I had 1 year of being a provost under my belt, and I applied the last time the presidency was open, I figured I would apply, they could tell me no, mm-hmm. and they did. They had no problem telling me, no, you're not ready. And so I thought, knowing Chris and the age Chris was at, I thought to myself that within 7 or 8 years, Chris would most likely be retiring. And within a couple years, the provost, who was a very close friend of mine at Shenandoah, was named president. And I decided to go down and work with her at Shenandoah University. And I did that for 5 years, waiting for the job to open at Moravian.
So you really wanted to get back here.
Yeah, I figured I would take one more run at it. And if I got it, I would be, it'd be the greatest job I ever had. Or I would go back to Shenandoah and suck my thumb for a little while and figure out what I was going to do.
But what the next path would be.
Right.
Yeah. So sometimes it's hard for educators to think of the college as a business, but it really is when you have all the components mm-hmm. and you have a bottom line that you've got to meet and certainly not sacrifice the educational aspects of what you have to do. So how are you transitioning? Did the provost prepare you for that sort of budget, business-minded?
Yeah, well, when you're the provost, Shenandoah University's a campus of 4,000 students and about 255 faculty members. And you're really, the provost is kind of considered the at-home president. And you're primarily dealing with the operations of the campus. The greatest challenge we have at any college is to provide a top-flight education as cost-effective as possible. You know, in classes of 1 to 12, mm-hmm. 1 to 400 is a lot more cost-effective, but it isn't as academically enriching as a class of 1 to 10 or 1 to 12. So we have to balance that all the time. And yes, it is a business, we most of our students receive scholarships that make our college degree as affordable as many state degrees are. And many of our students can actually go full ride because of their academic abilities. So we are committed to keeping down the cost of tuition and providing the most number of scholarships possible.
Well, that then means, though, that you've really got to work the other side of the other component that funds the scholarships and right. the development work on as well.
Well, and that's what's wonderful. Moravian has about 20,000 alums. They are rabid about their school,
okay.
and they realize that someone funded their education, so they need to pay it back.
Yeah.
And, you know, Moravian's been documented by Forbes magazine most recently as having a 6.8% return on investment. So if you put that money away in
the
bank. You're getting, it's been as high as 8.8% return on investment when Forbes, the first year Forbes had done this. But we're getting a significant return on investment, much higher than a lot of the other schools. We're in the top quarter nationwide and
terrific.
We're in the top third in Pennsylvania.
That's incredible. I hadn't heard those numbers before, but right now, I mean, if you're getting 1%,
you'd be happy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is, you know, what they do is the cost of the education versus what the alumni get as a job.
Okay, right.
And over the course of their life, this will be the return on the investment. So 6.8% return on investment right now is pretty good.
Yeah, that's excellent. One of the other things that we had talked about briefly before we started the show was the concept of brain drain that had been sort of flowing around a few years ago. I'm going to go back maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I think it was under Governor Randall. I know it was when Sam McCullough was in the Department of Community and Economic Development. But the theory there was that, you know, in Pennsylvania, we were educating all these young folks, and they were graduating and getting good jobs elsewhere. We weren't really tapping into that talent that we developed here in Pennsylvania. But our discussion, you came up with an interesting observation or something that you were aware of with graduates of colleges.
Yeah, most graduates live within a 100-mile radius of the college. This was the big fear when I was in New Jersey. New Jersey is the most populated state with the least amount of college seats. That's why everybody's recruiting up in New Jersey. There's 2 students for every 1 seat in higher education,
okay.
as opposed to Ohio, which has the flip side of that. They have 2 seats for every 1 student. Obviously, Pennsylvania, with 400-some-odd private, for-profit, and state entities, is a large drawer for higher education. But the traditional statement has been that the students stay within a 100-mile radius. Now, I can imagine some of the schools that exist in Pennsylvania are in very, very rural areas. But I can imagine that a large percentage of Moravian, Lehigh, Lafayette graduates stay within the Lehigh Valley. I do know that it is not possible. Moravian's best known programs is education. And it is not possible to graduate from the public school system in the Lehigh Valley without being taught by a Moravian alum.
Somewhere within your career, yeah. You've had a Moravian alum. That's really interesting.
So I think a lot of Moravian alums are here in the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah. And Moravian has always sort of been sort of more quiet school within the Lehigh Valley when you look at Lehigh, Lafayette, and and some of the others. But it's just sort of been quietly going about doing what it wants to do. And you said that it hasn't maybe changed a whole lot, but it's kept the integrity.
Well, one of the things is that there's a statement from John Amos Comenius on the wall in the building that the president's office is in that reminds me every day of our mission, which is that education is deserving of the noble and the ignoble, the rich and the poor. And it's one of the reasons why the colleges that you read that predate Moravian are all Ivy Leagues, and Moravian's not.
Right.
Moravian chose a different path than those other schools did to serve the poor just as well as the rich. And so a lot of our money goes to scholarships to keep the cost of tuition down and make it more affordable.
Yeah, when you think about the Moravian history in general and the way that the community supported the community, you know, whether it was in agriculture or business or, craft work, you know, everybody was there.
Right. Well, it is interesting that when they landed here, when the Moravians landed here in 1741, they established a woman's school. We are the first woman's school in the United States. They chose to educate women first, which was shocking for that time period.
Absolutely.
And they were building a community. They were building a place where you could choose to live this kind of life literally from cradle to grave. And many of our students come from Moravian Academy and come to Moravian College and stay right in the Lehigh Valley. So yes, we have quietly gone on doing our business.
Well, your mission.
One of our biggest dilemmas, I think, is kind of being a little bit too humble about it. I think it's a big deal that we chose to educate women first, and we were the first school in the country to do that. And that should be a point of pride that not a whole lot of people know about, because
correct.
We haven't.
Well, yeah, as I was doing the research, I mean, I've lived in the Valley most of my life. And of course, I was aware of Moravian and the other colleges. But when I saw that and saw it listed among the Ivy League and thought, wow, and it was a women's, you know.
Right.
That's incredible. So, you, as I said, you've been here a few months now and you're getting in your role. You've transitioned from provost and now I don't think you don't have a provost underneath you. You're it, correct?
There's a VPAA,
Vice
President of Academic Affairs, essentially a provost position.
Okay, so you have some company helping you
as you're
doing this. Okay,
yes.
That's great. Has there been an area that you found more challenging? Now the school's a little smaller than Shenandoah, but you've known it, so you're more intimately familiar with the background. Is there anything that sort of surprised you in the transition? Not your aha moment, which we discussed, but just from a business or an organizational standpoint.
The greatest impact that what I was most reassured about was that we are really committed. The history of Moravian is that John Amos Comenius, which was the father of education and was the Moravian bishop, had an idea of kind of a college that was focused on career path, getting a job, workforce development.
Okay.
And Zinzendorf, who you mentioned, Count Zinzendorf, he was more into knowledge for knowledge's sake, developing the whole person, highly ethical, highly responsible, good leader. Those two people provide the educational backbone for Moravian. And that's what makes Moravian a little bit different than most liberal arts colleges, is that we're preparing students for careers while using the liberal arts to do that. And so that was kind of the aha moment for me, which was we haven't lost sight of that at Moravian, that yes, we are going to educate the full person. We are going to make you think deeply and richly about complex ideas, but we're going to prepare you for a career at the end of this.
Okay. And that becomes even more challenging because some of those careers don't exist when they start their first year at Moravian.
That is correct. We are in a challenging time period in two ways. One is the way you're mentioning, that the jobs will not exist till 5 years after they graduate. They'll get that job. So we're preparing students for careers that don't exist. And we're also preparing students to have three or four different careers in their lifetime.
That's correct.
That's a challenge. You know, it used to be the college student got the accounting degree or whatever degree and stayed in that career path for their life. Now we're switching careers. And so this is where the liberal arts are even more important than they've ever been, because it's all those soft skills that the liberal arts creates that enable you to switch careers. That's why I want to be really clear. We're not into job creation. We're not trying to get someone into a job, because once that job is filled or overflowing, they can't go anywhere else. We're trying to get the student to have the skills that are necessary for multiple careers. So when one fills up or they don't, or they want to change careers, they can do so seamlessly.
Yeah. One of the challenges I've heard from some business owners as well as some others, I have a nephew who's fairly high up in the Coast Guard, and some of the basic communication skills for a lot of college graduates don't exist, written, mm-hmm. verbal. And so that is something I'm sure that at Moravian you pretty much emphasize and stress.
Very much so. Right from the first year seminar, which is focusing on written communication till their last class, students are regularly... Discussion is central to the Moravian education. So discussion, reflection, writing, presentations, all those components are essential because that's one of those skills that every student needs to have when they leave college.
Yeah, and along the same lines, and we'll get into that a little bit more after the break that's coming up, but technology and the role technology plays in communicating, but also the importance of the face-to-face. I think mm-hmm. in the business world, we're seeing a real concern over students coming into or graduates coming into our businesses and not being able to have that face-to-face interaction, responsibility, whatever you want to call it.
Yes, yeah. Very much so.
Okay. All right. Well, when we get back, there was a recent article in the newspaper about Moravian College providing Macs for all of its incoming freshman students. And we do want to talk a little bit more about technology and the role that's playing in this education of liberal arts and the creative thought process. So listeners, stay with us. We'll be back shortly after this brief break.
WDIY is pleased to partner with the Lehigh Valley chapter of the Pennsylvania Guild of Craftsmen, presenting their 28th annual holiday marketplace show Saturday, October 26th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, October 27th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., featuring handmade fine arts and crafts with artists on site to answer questions. All proceeds benefit the Guild of Crafters Student Art Award, encouraging promising young Lehigh Valley art students. For more information, lvholidaymarketplace.com or 570-807-8100.
For program support of WDIY, we thank Lafayette Ambassador Bank, the Air Products Foundation, Knoll, Crayola, Just Born, and the Martin Guitar Charitable Foundation.
Welcome back, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon. I'm here in the station this evening with Dr. Brian Grigsby, who is the president of Moravian College, and we're talking about what's been happening at Moravian, the differences that he's seen as an undergraduate and now as president. And we're about to leap into the 21st century sort of technology and visions of where he is as far as where he thinks education is going and where Moravian College is going as well. However, before we get into that, there was a recent article that I had mentioned before break about providing laptop computers, Macs, to incoming freshmen. And it seems to be almost sort of like 50-50 among the colleges from what I was reading. Mm-hmm. Some are very much for it. Some are saying no. And so what led you to that decision?
Well, I think a school that, you know, back to the noble and the ignoble, the rich and the poor. If you are doing a what they call BYOD, bring your own device, for the college, you have a digital divide. There are students who come from wealthier families who can afford high-end computers, and there are students who come from poorer families and are struggling to get by. I don't think there's anything that is more important to student success right now than the piece of technology they have that they can use in the classroom to understand the key concepts that the faculty are trying to get across them. So that was one reason, was to level the playing field.
Okay.
So every student has the top of the line piece of technology that they can use for their 4 years while at Moravian. The other piece was that by having a ubiquitous platform, the MacBook is able to run all three operating systems. So back to getting students trained in the skills they'll need for their career, mm-hmm. if you are a music student, Moravian's famous for its music program. Well, you now, in today's day and age, you need to know how to do GarageBand and Final Cut Pro because, you know, that middleman of the record company is kind of out of the picture now. Okay. So you need to know how to work a Mac OS operating system. But if you're in business, you need to know how to do Windows and you need to know how to do Excel and pivot tables and all that. Well, the MacBook runs Windows as well. And if you're in computer science, you need to know how to do Linux. And the Mac runs all operating systems. So there's not a Windows version that can do that. By having every operating system being able to be run and having access to all the software, we can ensure that a Moravian graduate will leave college with the skills they're going to see in their industry and know how to use the technology for that. I believe technology is going to become the writing we were just talking about in 10 years. Because, yes, our students know how to Facebook better than you and I or tweet better than you and I, but I bet you I know how to create a better pivot table in Excel and which is more important for business. Businesses need those different kinds of skills, and our students do not come naturally with them.
Sure.
The other piece is that all students will also receive a mobile device, and that's an iPad. So every student will receive an iPad along with the MacBook. That will enable interactive textbooks, which we haven't been able to have so far, and hopefully bring down textbook costs. So we will have our site on iTunes University, and faculty will create a textbook that will have both written words, but videos, apps, interactive applications that students can use virtually, virtual chemistry labs, et cetera, that they can interact with and get us beyond, you know, the 19th century textbook into a 21st century interactive means.
Ooh, so as a professor, there's a lot of training and educating going on.
The early adopters of the faculty are getting their technology this week.
Okay.
And in December, Apple is going to be coming onto campus and training those early adopters. We'll be doing that again in May, and then we roll out the program in the fall.
Wow. I know I had been approached about doing online course. I don't know, but it was a conference, so you would see, and it was like a 16-week program, and I thought, I just don't have the ability to be able to make up everything to be entertaining, to be educational, to provide the give and take. That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and our faculty are highly dedicated and want to do this. I mean, every faculty member wants to help the student be transformed.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do, and they just need the right tools to do it. I mean, I put the not having a common platform equivalent to this story I regularly say. Imagine I'm teaching an accounting class and I walk into the accounting class and I say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to order a textbook." But that's okay. On your way home tonight, stop over at a bookstore or a library, any place that carries books, and take a book off the shelf that says accounting.
Oh, boy.
And when you come to class, I'll make class work.
Yeah.
That's what we do with technology. Whatever you have, bring it into class. I'll fire it up to the network, and we'll make it work. And what we can see from the business world, it's not working well. So if we get to a common platform where the faculty have the same computer that the students have, then they can come over and help the student. No, this is how you do it. And more importantly, the student can help the student. That's where the real magic happens with a common platform, is that a student who's already had that problem or had mastered that skill can turn and help their roommate, can help someone else, but they can't do that when it's not the common platform.
Or they can help the professor.
Or they can help the professor. Those cases happen.
Yeah. I know. Anymore, when you have computer problems, I try and find a friend that's got about a 15-year-old, and that takes care of getting everything taken care of for me. One of the points that seems to come up periodically with the 21st century and the fact that careers change so often is that an undergraduate degree is still taking 4 years, except for your accelerated nursing program. Mm-hmm. Do you see any change in that in the future? Is that something that is sort of here to stay because there's a lot of things besides just the education happening?
That I think it's here to stay. I know that there's been an attempt at a 3-year baccalaureate. The Bologna Project, which is out of Europe, has done a 3-year. Mm-hmm. Undergraduate education in England is 3 years, but their secondary education is different than ours. So when you go to college in England, you're just studying your major. There is no part of the liberal arts. So you're not doing all the general education courses. You're just in your major because they feel that in high school, they got that general education and now they're focused on just working on their major. There's also transformation that happens. I think one of the most telling stories I've ever heard was that the founder of the University of Phoenix, or one of the CEOs of the University of Phoenix, was asked about his new delivery system, you know, delivering courses online to people. And, you know, their graduation rate's 9%. So it's very difficult to get an education through online means. And what they ended up, the interviewer asked him, so what for your kids, are they going to go to University of Phoenix? And he said, no, they're going to go to a residential college. And they asked, well, why? And he said, well, something happens there. And that is what is wonderful about residential college. Something happens in those 4 years. Living in the residence hall, having to play soccer, having to be a member of a club, dealing with your roommate, and the classes is how we transform people. Fortunately, there's not, you know, online learning serves really well for people that can't do that. Mm-hmm. But there's no reason to throw residential college out because it's highly successful. 97% of our students graduate within 4 years at Moravian. So 94% of our students are employed or in graduate school within 6 months.
That's incredible.
You know, we are a proven track record. Unfortunately, it's also expensive, mm-hmm. and that's the challenges you face. So I think the liberal arts college is here to stay, a 4-year college. I doubt it will go to 3. But I do think what we're going to see more of, and Moravians committed to doing this, is the 5-year master's program.
Okay.
So you get your bachelor's degree and your master's degree in 5 years. So we have our MBA program you can get from high school to master's in 5 years.
Okay. Traditionally, a master's program would be what?
2 years.
2 years on top of that.
Right.
And so you're going full time, basically for 5 years versus graduating, working, and going for 2 years.
Right. I think you're going to see that in more health professions fields as well as in the business world.
That certainly would make a lot of sense because while you're in that mode to just continue and get that learning, my only fear would be that the practical application of
right.
what you're learning and will you have time to do any of that if you're going that fast and furious?
And that is one of Moravian's concerns. We're actually working on revamping our curriculum for more paid internships during the college. And we're even investigating a co-op program and seeing the possibilities of that. So you get both the practical experience of a paid internship where is this really the job I want?
Mm-hmm.
You know, theoretically, it sounds great, but do I really, when I'm doing it, want to do that? And if it is, well, where am I still weak? What skills am I still weak at so I can go back to my professors and say, hey, I'd like to take an independent study in X, Y, and Z because I noticed in my internship, I didn't know anything about this, and I was the one in the room that didn't know about it. So I need to ramp my skills up.
Well, I'm just thinking with your new, what you call it, super science lab, with a GIS. I mean, to me, from a business community perspective, being able to do some kind of program with students who have that and have the business benefit as well as the students, that...
That, yeah, that would be powerful.
Yeah, it would. And I'm just, my mind is going on that one. Okay. when we talk about student living experiences, some of the other colleges, Lafayette, Cedar Crest, Lehigh, have developed these groups of interest where the
Living learning communities.
Yes, living learning communities. Do you have that at Moravian as
well? Yes, we have a state-of-the-art facility called The Hill, which is at the South Campus, the Priscilla Payne Hurd Campus. It's a 240-bed apartment-style.
The new place. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is a living learning community. There are pods set up where students who are in a specific freshman seminar or maybe have a certain community focus that they want to be working on can be in that environment together, working on that. So they're living and learning.
Okay. Now, is that all freshmen in that location? Or is
No,
that...
it's a variety. It's mixed groups.
Okay. So it could be seniors in a group of live and learn as well as freshmen in a similar. Very interesting. Okay. I didn't know. I mean, it's a beautiful facility that was built there.
It is best practice in every kind of 21st century residential hall you could have. It's got every bell and whistle from fitness center to food court to living learning communities to apartments. It is a wonderful facility.
Wow, that's great. Now, that's only, what, 3 years old, maybe?
That's correct, yeah.
3 years old?
Wasn't here when I was here, that's for sure. I lived in Bernie Willie.
yeah, I know. I went back. I went to the small school called Penn State. I went back a few years ago as an alum, and I hadn't done that in years. And I was in one of the older dorms, and we had to take our fans back.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they still don't have air conditioning in those schools.
Yeah, my dorm room still doesn't have air conditioning.
Interesting. You talk about developing the creativeness and sort of the basic thought processes of the students while they're there to help them guide through multiple careers. Is entrepreneurship one of those areas that you try to foster or have them sort of get a feel for?
You know, we don't have an entrepreneurship program like many schools do, but we have some of the most entrepreneurial alums. So somehow we are developing this.
Oh, great. Okay.
The ketchup bottle that has the flip top lid you set upside down. Mm-hmm. A Moravian alum created that flip top lid.
Keep the ketchup coming down.
There's a variety.
Does he work for Heinz or her work? Does she work for Heinz?
Well, he gets a cut of all the patent because he has the patent on that.
Wonderful.
So we have an incredible amount of entrepreneurial alums. So somehow what we're teaching lends itself to being an entrepreneur after you graduate. But we don't have a dedicated entrepreneurial program within the business program. I think we generally think all business is entrepreneurial. And so
there's nothing specific. You've got it. Well, and you're right. In this day and age, unless you're with a large corporate sort of structure that hasn't gotten into the 21st century, you've got to be entrepreneurial because you don't have the staff.
Right.
You know, you've got to be able to sort of think differently outside the box to make the business survive.
Right. I mean, if I think even the music students, you know, what we were talking about before, the record label and this studio are all gone. You know, you can now cut your own music with the MacBook and put it on iTunes and collect your 99 cents right there. And so you have to be entrepreneurial in today's day and age.
Wow. And this time has gone so quickly. We've only got about a minute and a half to wrap up. And I do want to make sure that we get, Brian, to some things that are happening at Moravian. So if there's anything coming up that you would like to share with the listeners, let's do that now to make sure that they hear it.
Okay. Well, we have Chris Hedges, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning American journalist. He's going to be on campus October 22nd at 7:30 p.m. at Prosner Auditorium. He did a coverage of global terrorism. So people might want to come and hear him talk. It's free. Obviously, we have some music coming up. We have Vespers.
Okay.
And so definitely want to be there for Vespers. And our theater kicks off its season with sketches. So it's one of three student-directed projects that premieres in October. And then it continues with Proof, the Pulitzer Prize-winning David Auburn, on November 7th and 9th.
Terrific. And these can all be found on moravian.edu?
Correct.
So you can go on to the college's website and even get some more information. I see the list here, and he just highlighted a few of them. So there's a lot of things happening. I want to just say thank you so much, Brian, for taking the time out of your tremendously busy schedule to join us at WDIY and to share with the Lehigh Valley. You're coming home.
Well, thank you.
And we're glad to have you and Mo walking around campus.
Yes, you'll see me definitely down on the south side.
Thank you, listeners. This is Sally Hanlon, and I have been with Dr. Brian Grigsby, who is the president, 16th president of Moravian College. And we are on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and would like to thank you for listening to us this evening.